And this is a book we did last year. It's called Philosophy and Art, which is there's about 20 different people in there, all of them at some point have a connection with the universe. And it just sort of talks about the general relationships between philosophy and art. And some of the questions that come into that. I mean, it was interesting that Jim was talking about King Arthur. I just wrote a book that came out a couple of weeks ago called Up the British. It's about British identity. And it talks about King Arthur, I mean, interestingly, because it's just totally mythical. I mean, there's absolutely no evidence at all that it exists. So I can talk a lot about the mythical part of Britishness. But, I mean, it was quite interesting in the concluding chapters of it, because I was talking about the current state of the mythological and British identity. And really kind of comparing the nirvana aspects of Britishness with the kind of technological bureaucracy that we live in. So it kind of ended up, I mean, and I didn't realise it would when I was writing it, but it kind of ended up talking about the contemporary bureaucratic rational technology. So, and what I've recently just decided to do is to talk about digital aesthetics. So that's going to be my new project. I decided this last week. the two questions, and if I mean, I could keep it to 8 seconds. The two questions I decided, the real key questions are, where is the digital, and what are its implications? And contained in those two questions is absolutely everything within the universe as well. So, I mean, I would expand upon it a little bit. There's a wonderful novel called Snow Crash. Do you know that? It's kind of almost exactly pinpoints what I like to try and think about. It's this really weird futuristic novel about this strange kind of society in which this old Babylonian plate with a kind of virus on it. But if you look at it, it freezes the neural systems of the brain and you die. It's really quite a nice kind of image. So when I'm thinking about the digital, what I'm really interested in is thinking about what are the unforeseen consequences of the digital and you know, what happens in a social and emotional and even neural sense with all these things. So, so it just seems to me that it's a really big question. It's like, you know, what is the object of a digital aesthetics? And, you know, has the digital rewritten? It's very much Walter Benjamin, the optics of the unconscious. You know, has it rewritten modes of perception? Has it rewritten how we view things, how we understand art, how we relate to things? And is it transforming artistic production and consumption in ways that we haven't even thought about? It's the unintended consequences I'm sort of interested in. So, what's she called? Janet Murray. Janet Murray, this woman, American. She said there's a new aesthetics of the digital, and she said there were three key categories, which were immersion, rapture, and agency. She said the digital produces this wonderful situation in which one immerses oneself in this, you know, nirvana-like imagery. That this produces a kind of rapture, which is a different aesthetic. It's exactly that ancient thing. It's a different way of viewing, relating to the art object. And she says, and it's very close to Baudrillard's relational aesthetics, you know, the idea that there's an agency in that viewing implicit in the digital, which allows interaction and freedom. You know, it's a sort of positive end of the scale of things. So that's quite interesting. And clearly there is something about the digital entirely which is transformatory at almost every level, and that's what I'm trying to think about. In a piece I wrote in here, it's called Art and the Mass Media, it talks very much about the relationship between art and the mass media, which has been completely under-theorised, simply because one of the nobody wants to think about it, because it's dominant in the mass media, particularly in terms of So I'm going to take it from that and talk about a possible digital future and what, you know, what an aesthetics would look like in that relational sense that understood the political and sociological and emotional, hopefully. I mean, I wrote this thing last year. I did this thing with this Russian bunch called AES plus F. And these three Russian digital artists who exhibited in Venice Biennale and stuff. They're really interesting. But their stuff is very much, you can see when I was talking about it, their understanding of the digital and the mythical and the psychological, I think, it's just extraordinary the way it seemed to correspond with the way I was thinking. So it was kind of talking about the unconscious and the digital. So, and that's, I'm extending that as well. So what...
what's their name?
AES plus F. This is a wonderful book that they produce, which I have just obviously forgotten. It's loads of their stuff on the internet. Absolutely tons. It's even on YouTube. And because it's about...
They're digital.
Yeah, they're digitalized. They're very interesting in computer games and stuff. If you look at all of their stuff, it's very much about youth, the digital, consumerism, you know, the mythic within kind of computer games. It's really, really interesting stuff. And by extension with that, I'm quite interested in the idea of... sort of trans-global notion of the digital in terms of thinking about identity and thinking about ways in which the digital transforms modes of perception in terms of national cultures and, you know, national identities and all those sorts of things. And there's an idea of the numinous in contemporary digital art, which is also quite a nice notion that ties up with the mythical. So it's a sort of, you know, digital spirituality. So, I mean, to put it its most basic, I was just thinking there's a kind of scale of ideas across thinking about the digital in philosophical terms, which, you know, at one end has got magic, if you like, a sort of Levi Straussian magical sort of property about the digital, which is very interesting, which goes through structures, semiotics, identification, de-identification, anime, through to the other extreme, which is, I think, talking about paranoia and violence with digital. So, I mean, it just occurred to me that what I would want to try and do is think about how one would place oneself in aesthetic sense within the entire range of the possible implications of, you know, social. That's really, that literally what I decided last week. I invented it. So.
It's a book.
Yeah, it'll be a book.
You can kind of see that, you know, you said the digital aesthetic, and you can kind of see that that ground when you talk about things that stay within a virtual or a screen based environment. So it's interesting because a lot of us have talked about the making of things from digital information. So you do enter the world of objects, and when it enters the physical world, it has digital elements and it has a history in that, but it is something else, or is it something else? I mean, you've got an interesting question, because that's where the two, you know, where the, I'm not going to say the real world, the virtual world, but, you know, it's where two things meet, and actually have those objects got the characterizations that the digital and the same implications for a change of perception and all the other things that you might talk about. And that's kind of, like, for me, interesting, because I'm never that excited by things that aren't in some way made into a grabbable thing, so or a physical drawing or whatever. You know, there's still something, whether that's a romantic idea, I don't know what it is, but it's something about a need for a aesthetic, a physical.
Absolutely.
you know, interaction, which is, and I think, you know, to use magic, you know, it's more difficult to be magical maybe in a physical object because you can't do the anti-gravity, you know, you can't do the things that you're allowed to do in a digital world, in a physical world that easily.
But it can be representations, so.
Possibly. I mean, it's just this kind of question of, you know, is there a space for that as a different...
It's a kind of cultural battle, isn't it? It's the sustainability of the religion or something. Mm. Or that other question that some people say, you know, is the digital rewriting the universe? And then you can think about it scientifically. I mean, the sort of, you know, subatomic structures of the world. I mean, there's some people who are trying to talk about the way that, you know, possibly the digital is interacting with those subatomic structures. That can be, you know, things are being restructured, but it's kind of metaphorical. I mean, it's very interesting to think about that. And the more optimistic digital types all talk about, you know, the digital is the world. Maybe wrong.
Rapture, immersion, rapture, agency.
Mm-hmm. How do you explain the agency?
Well, it's the idea of it's, you know, like interactivity and collaboration and stuff that the digital can be manipulated by. It's not an art object that sits there separate from the viewer. It's an immersion within the digital in which all sorts of interactivity. And I think it's a bit optimistic. It clearly is a possibility.
But she has written it quite a while ago, hasn't she?
I think so.
So she's not the author of Snow Crash.
Stevenson. It's a very entertaining book, that Snow Crash.
And Janet Morris's book is.
I don't know where that came from. It's just. Maybe it's one of the general definitions of what a digital is.
But when you talk about the digital, you wouldn't include the works we have presented in a way because they're physical, actual products. Would you?
Well, that's the question, where is the digital? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, it's...
It's well beyond it's inside the machine. It's throughout the fabric.
I did some work a couple of years ago with this Japanese woman called Yuki Tamada. She's at the University of Tokyo. She did some stuff about photographing emotional situations and then transforming the pixelation into structures, which produced the most amazing patterns about emotional structure. It was really quite extraordinary. Mm. It was like there was another level of structure behind pixelization, which is just fascinating. What's going on with those? You know, Walter Benjamin always said everything has 42 levels of meaning. So it's that in the digital that I'm kind of interested in, because the digital is semi-theorial, and at another level it's substantive, which is what makes it really difficult to think about. So. But as I say, I only started doing this last week. So. Give me another 2 weeks. So.
But do you think automatic people and the industry of books as well. Do you think there is any good writing out on digital aesthetics and how artists use it? What are we doing?
I was thinking of the bottom of the leg this morning. If somebody asked me what my key text would be, in relation to digital and making, which is what we do, the physical side of things, I can't. But he's 1996 now. Yeah. It's 12 years. So does that still stand?
I think it does. I think, I mean, one of the things that he's sort of proposing at that stage.
His perception of craft is quite strange.
Last week started thinking, and you know, it's Sean Cubitt, one or two other things.
But Richard, you have this book of definitions where you also talk a lot about in cyber society.
I've been in my Megaworks book.
Yeah. I mean, you're not new to the subject area.
No, no. But I mean, it's, you know, I haven't just even vaguely systematic control much before. I mean, it came out of that art and the mass media stuff.
I quite like John Ippolito's stuff, Jolene Blades. They've produced, they've got a book called The Edge of Art.
Neuroaesthetics, that might be that's a good area to go in. I don't know much about it, but that's that kind of ties up. If you mentioned it earlier, you mentioned neurological aspects of unforeseen consequences as well.
That was a good conference. Did you go to neuroaesthetics at Goldsmith and Ron Neidich organized that? That's maybe 3 years ago, neuroaesthetics. This publication. I mean, then, of course, the whole debate now coming in on nanotechnology, biomods, and red technology, all this stuff. You know, you grow tissues. And
yeah, you're going to implant things into the body, so yeah.
That's maybe a slightly different discussion. Yeah.
I don't know, in terms of physical objects, I think I had growing things and
Owen Katz produces those voodoo dolls out of skin, actually. He's an Australian.
What
was that called? Owen Katz, O-R-O-N.
C-A-T.
Australia.
Yeah, they have actually an MA in bio art, which I find a bit weird.
Make steaks.
I made bio art.
They
use bioreactors to produce the bioprinting.
There is, yeah.
I mean, what the real plan is with bioprinting is producing organs on the market.
Yeah.
But there's also sugar printing,
which
is
going to be
fun.
but overall, I think it's badly needed, that kind of text.
But how would you do it? Would you use case studies to kind of get a broad range of?
Well, I mean, difficult. I think the difficulty is that it permeates so many different practices now. That it, and you will notice that you would come at it from some angles, and that's
because the whole animation side is coming. Animation, 3D, 2D animation. That crosses any field. It goes into drawing, it goes into sculpting, and then bringing 3D stuff back into animation.
And photography.
Photography is
doing almost entirely digital, the professional kind of photography. I think there's very little that's been written there from what I can see in terms of critical reflection and what the impact of that change has had.
I heard a talk from this guy from ET at a little seminar at the Royal College around the jewellery department. And he was talking about wearing a chip and your clothing. So when you walk down Oxford Street, his characterization of it was that you could have a look at all the women could be Claudia Schiffer. The women or the men could be, you know, whoever. And it's that, that talking up that relationship between the virtual was where he thought things were really exciting, that people would be negotiating their relationships by walking down the street and knowing from a message from somebody else's chip that they like reading the same books and listening to the same records. And, you know, I was kind of horrified.
But you'd still be scared to go and talk to them.
And then you'd be he was asked, well, how do you know if they were lying or not? And so you'd be able to tap into somebody else's database and be an ex-girlfriend of that person and give a view on whether that person really was bona fide and, you know, had told the truth. And it's completely destroying also the subtle complexity of relations, interactions, emotional, facial reading, and
I mean, I guess the end of those speculative things do come out, and Stevenson and Bruce Sterling and other people were writing this kind of sci-fi stroke futurology type works is where they're kind of playfully played out a little bit, and, you know, rather than being...
Well, I learned that thing recently that somebody was done for, you know, stealing things on Second Life. Which was quite an interesting interaction.
It's a divorce case.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in fact, I mean, it would perhaps be logical. Yeah, I could look at the projects, you know, other stealing projects, and talk to people and say, you know, talk about, you know, working to the incubations. Yeah.
But I think maybe you could mention that last time when you guys presented over in Canberra. Well, the digital tools or digital technology actually brings different artists into a discussion, you know, that you might not have talked to each other because you might be a podger and I might be a video artist or...
Yeah, it,
you know, so
it connects you up.
It connects us in a
different
way.
Kind of common
medium. Or we might use the same software package for totally different things.
Yeah.
So in a way, the digital draws these elements all into one.
It enables collaboration.
Yeah.
It does. But so you know, if you go into open source.
Yeah, well, you're using it for enough, you might use it. Communication or
for collaboration.
Collaboration, too, for collaboration.
I think we feel increasing the tension between autonomy and collaboration. You know, we think we're coming from a world where we want to be in control of the whole process from start to finish, and then once you get involved in the digital, you realise how far away that is from you. You know, actually, it's everybody else's controlling it. Was that any different before when you used analog tools? Anyway, they were invented by somebody who went through process, repetitive action, or whatever. So it's, and then the literal facilitation of that through network, through the internet, that actually we are increasingly interested in working with other people because we can't possibly have all the skills in all the different bits of software and all the bits of technology, and you know, actually we have to come together to create something new. I'm hungry. My blood sugar level is very low.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, that's great. We've heard everybody now.
Thanks. But there is more people who would be part of the discussion. John.
Yeah.
To the other, Andy Steve. Motions.
Yeah, if you want, this might be a little bit late for this.